Dilemma, the 77th. Wonders at the Grave. Venerable Nagasena, are there wonders at the Katiyas, the mounds raised over the ashes? Of all who have passed entirely away, of all the Arahats deceased. Of some, O King, but not of others. But which, sir, is this the case, and of which not? It is by the steadfast resolve, O King, of three kinds of people, that wonders take place at the Katiya of some person deceased, who has been entirely set free. And who are the three? In the first place, O King, an Arahat, when still alive, may, out of pity for gods and men, make the resolve. Let there be such and such wonders at my Katiya. Then, by reason of his resolve, wonders happen there. This is it, that wonders occur by the resolve of an Arahat at the Katiya of one entirely set free. And again, O King, the God, out of pity for men, show wonders at the Katiya of one who has been entirely set free, thinking, by this wonder may the true faith remain always established on the earth, and may mankind, believing, grow in grace. Thus is it that wonders occur by the resolve of a God at the Katiya of one entirely set free. And again, O King, some woman or some man of believing heart, able, intelligent, wise, endowed with insight, may deliberately take perfumes, or a garland, or a cloth, and place it on the Katiya, making the resolve, may such and such a wonder take place. Thus is it that wonders occur by the resolve of human beings at the Katiya of one entirely set free. These, O King, are the three kinds of people by whose steadfast resolve wonders take place at the Katiyas of Arahats deceased. And if there has been no such resolve, O King, by one of these then, is there no wonder at the Katiya even of one whose asavas had been destroyed, who had attained to the sixfold insight, who was master of himself? And if there be no such wonder then, O King, one should call to mind the purity of conduct one has seen, and draw in trusting faith the conclusion. Verily, this child of the Buddhas has been entirely set free. Very good, Nagasena, that is so, and I accept it as you say. Here ends the dilemma as to wonders at the grave. Dilemma, the 78th. Conversion and Conduct. Venerable Nagasena, those who regulate their lives aright, do they all attain to insight into the truth, or are there some of them who do not? Some do, O King, and some do not. Then which do, sir, and which do not? He who is born as an animal, O King, even though he regulate his life aright, will not attain to insight into the truth, nor he who is born in the Preta world, nor he who holds wrong views, nor the deceitful man, nor he who has slain his mother or his father, or an edahat, nor he who has raised up a schism in the order, nor he who has shed a Buddha's blood, nor he who has furtively attached himself to the order, nor he who has become a pervert, nor he who has violated a sister of the order, nor he who, having been guilty of one or other of the 13 grievous offenses, has not been rehabilitated, nor a eunuch, nor an hermaphrodite, and whosoever is a human child under 7 years of age, even though he regulate his life aright, will not attain to insight into the truth. To these 16 individuals, there is no attainment of insight, O King, even though they regulate their life aright. Venerable Nagasena, there may or may not be a possibility of insight to the 15 you have first singled out for opposition. But what is the reason why an infant, one under 7 years of age, should not, even though he regulate his life aright, attain to insight? Therein there is still a puzzle left, for is it not admitted that in a child there is not passion, neither malice, nor dullness, nor pride, nor heresy, nor discontent, nor lustful thoughts, being undefiled by sin? That which we call an infant is fit and ready to the attainment even of adahatship. How much more is he worthy to penetrate at a glance into the four truths? The following is the reason, O King, for my saying that an infant, even though he regulate his life aright, cannot attain to insight. If, O King, one under 7 years of age could feel passion about things exciting to passion, could go wrong in things leading to iniquity, could be befooled in matters that mislead, could be maddened as to things that infatuate, could understand a heresy, could distinguish between content and discontent, could think out virtue and vice, then might insight be possible to him? But the mind of one under 7 years of age, O King, is powerless and weak, mean, small, slight, obscure, and dull. Whereas the essential principle of Nirvana is transcendental, important, weighty, wide-reaching, and extensive. Therefore is it, O King, that the infant, with so imperfect a mind, is unable to grasp an idea so great. It is like the case of Sineru, O King, the king of the mountains, heavy and ponderous, wide-reaching and mighty as it is. Could now a man, by his ordinary strength and power and energy, root that mountain up? Certainly not, sir. But why not? Because of the weakness of the man, and because of the mightiness of Sineru, the mountain king. Just so, O King, is the relation of the infant's mind to Nirvana. And again, it is like the broad earth, O King, long and wide, great in expanse and extension, large and mighty. Would now a tiny drop of water be able to wet and turn to mud that broad earth? Certainly not, sir. But why not, O King? Because of the minuteness of the drop of water, and because of the greatness of the broad earth. Just so, O King, is the relation of the infant's mind to Nirvana. Or again, O King, suppose there were weak and powerless, minute, tiny, limited, and dull fire. Would it be possible, with so insignificant a fire, to overcome darkness and make light appear over the whole world of gods and men? Certainly not, sir. But why not, O King? Because of the dullness of the fire, and because of the greatness of the world. Just so, O King, the mind of one under 7 years of age is powerless and weak, limited, insignificant, obscure, and dull. It is veiled, moreover, with the thick darkness of ignorance. Hard would it be, therefore, for it to shine forth with the light of knowledge. And that is the reason, O King, why, to an infant, to one under 7 years of age, even though he order his conduct aright, there can be no attainment of insight into the truth. Or again, O King, suppose there were a salaka, minute in the measure of its body, and rendered lean by disease. And it, on seeing an elephant king, which showed the signs of rut in 3 places, and was 9 cubits in length, and 3 in breadth, and 10 in girth, and 7 in height, coming to its lair, were to begin to drag the elephant towards it with the view of swallowing it. Now, would the salaka, O King, be able to do? Certainly not, sir. But why not, O King? Because of the minuteness of the salaka's body, and because of the magnitude of the elephant king. Just so, O King, the mind of one under 7 years of age is powerless and weak, limited, insignificant, obscure and dull. Grand and transcendental is the ambrosial essence of Nirvana. With that mind so powerless and weak, so limited, insignificant, obscure, and dull, he cannot penetrate into the grand and transcendental essence of Nirvana. And that is the reason, O King, why to an infant, one under 7 years of age, even though he order his conduct aright, there can be no attainment to insight of the truth. Very good, Nagasena. That is so, and I accept it as you say. Here ends the dilemma on conversion and conduct. Dilemma, the 79th, the pain of Nirvana. Venerable Nagasena, how is it? Is Nirvana all bliss, or is it partly pain? Nirvana is all bliss, O King. There is no intermingling of pain in it. That, sir, is a saying we cannot believe, that Nirvana is all bliss. On this point, Nagasena, we maintain that Nirvana must be alloyed with pain. And there is a reason for our adopting that view. What is that reason? Those, Nagasena, who seek after Nirvana are seen to practice exertion and application both of body and of mind, restraint in standing, walking, sitting, lying, and eating, suppression of sleep, subjugation of the organs of sense, renunciation of wealth and corn, of dear relatives and friends. But all those who are joyful and happy in the world take delight in, are devoted to, the 5 pleasures of sense. They practice and delight their eyes in many kinds of pleasurable forms, such as at any time they like the best. They practice and delight their ears in many kinds of pleasurable sounds of revelry and song, such as at any time they like the best, they practice, and delight their sense of smell with many kinds of perfumes of flowers, and fruits, and leaves, and bark, and roots, and sap, such as at any time they like the best, they practice and delight their tongue with many kinds of pleasurable tastes of hard foods and of soft, of syrups, drinks, and beverages, such as at any time they like the best, they practice and delight their sense of touch with many kinds of pleasurable feeling, tender and delicate, exquisite and soft, such as at any time they like the best, they practice and delight their minds with many sorts of conceptions and ideas, pure and impure, good and bad, such as at any time they like the best. You, on the other hand, put a stop to and destroy, maim and mangle, put a drag on and restrain the development of your eye and ear and nose and tongue and body and mind. Therefore, is your body afflicted and your mind afflicted too? And your body being afflicted, you feel bodily discomfort and pain? And your minds being afflicted, you feel mental discomfort too and pain? Did not even Magandhya the ascetic find fault with the Blessed One and say, the Samana Gotama is a destroyer of increase? Nirvana, O King, has no pain in it. It is bliss unalloyed. When you, O King, maintain that Nirvana is painful, that which you call painful is not Nirvana. It is the preliminary stage to the realization of Nirvana. It is the process of seeking after Nirvana. Nirvana itself is bliss, pure and simple. There is no pain mixed with it. And I will give you an explanation of this. Is there such a thing, O King, as the bliss of sovereignty which kings enjoy? Most certainly. And is there no pain, O King, mingled with that bliss? No, sir. But surely then, O King, why is it that when their frontier provinces have broken out in revolt, the kings to the end that they may bring the inhabitants of those provinces into subjection again, leave their homes, attended by their ministers and chiefs, their soldiers and their guards, and marching over ground even and uneven, tormented the while by gnats and mosquitoes and hot wind, engage in fierce fights and suffer the presentiment of death. That, Venerable Nagasena, is not what is called the bliss of sovereignty. It is only the preliminary stage in the pursuit of that bliss. It is after they have thus in pain sought after sovereignty that they enjoy the bliss thereof. And thus that bliss, Nagasena, is itself unmixed with pain. For the bliss of sovereignty is one thing, and the pain another. Just so, O King, is Nirvana all bliss, and there is no pain mingled with it. Those who are in quest of Nirvana afflict their minds and bodies, it is true, restrain themselves in standing, walking, sitting, lying, and in food, suppress their sleep, keep their senses in subjection, abandon their very body and their life. But it is after they have thus in pain sought after Nirvana that they enjoy the Nirvana which is bliss unalloyed. as kings do the bliss of sovereignty, after their foes have been put down. Thus is it, O king, that nirvana is all bliss, and there is no pain mingled with it. For nirvana is one thing, and the pain another. And here another explanation, O king, of the same thing. Is there such a thing, O king, as the bliss of knowledge which those teachers have, who have passed through their course? Yes, sir, there is. Well, is that bliss of knowledge alloyed with pain? No. What then, O king, is the good of their afflicting themselves by bowing down before and standing up in the presence of their teachers, by drawing water and sweeping out the cell, and placing tooth, sticks, and washing water ready by living upon scraps left over, by doing service in shampooing and bathing and washing of the feet, by suppressing their own will and acting according to the will of others, by sleeping in discomfort and feeding on distasteful food. That, Nagasena, is not the bliss of knowledge. It is a preliminary stage in the pursuit thereof. It is after the teachers have in pain sought after knowledge that they enjoy its bliss. Thus is it, Nagasena, that the bliss of knowledge is unalloyed with pain. For that bliss of knowledge is one thing, and the pain another. Just so, O king, is nirvana all bliss, and there is no pain mingled with it. Those who are in quest of nirvana afflict their minds and bodies, it is true, restrain themselves in standing, walking, sitting, lying, and in food, suppress their sleep, keep their senses in subjection, abandon their very body and their life. But it is after they have thus in pain sought after nirvana that they enjoy the nirvana which is bliss unalloyed, as teachers do the bliss of knowledge. Thus is it, O king, that nirvana is all bliss, and there is no pain mingled with it. For nirvana is one thing, and the pain another. Very good, Nagasena. That is so, and I accept it as you say. Here ends the dilemma as to the pain of nirvana.